In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Looking back at my childhood, it seems to me that I didn't really experience my first Christmas until I was about 15 years old. That we were not a church-going family. We had our Christmas traditions. We baked Christmas cookies and decorated a tree. We always watched the Charlie Brown Christmas special and The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. I knew that Christmas was about the birth of Jesus, but we really never spoke of him as a family. So that whole part of it was really not very much in my consciousness. Until the year my father started going back to church and I started going with him. I remember my first Christmas Eve service. We had made homemade bread and soup at my father's house that night, and we'd sipped homemade eggnog with friends. And as we all spilled out of the house to walk the half mile or so to church, we quickly fell silent. It had snowed slowly and steadily all day long. And it was too perfectly still and beautiful to disturb with our words. And in that magnificent old candlelit stone church on East Avenue in Rochester, New York, I heard Isaiah read for the first time in my life. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. The rod of their oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. All the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and his name is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. He will establish it and uphold it with justice from this time onward and forevermore. That night is when I began to understand what Christmas was really about. I was very young then, just 15, and maybe you wouldn't think that these words from Isaiah would have so captured my imagination, but they did. Even at 15, I had seen enough of the world to be scared and disappointed by it. I was born while the Vietnam War was still going on, and I faintly remember seeing long rows of coffins draped with American flags on TV. I went to elementary and middle school during the Cold War. We had air raid drills every couple of weeks where we had to huddle underneath our desks so we'd know what to do when the Russians bombed us with nuclear bombs, as if being under the table would help. By the time I was 15, my parents had divorced. I had witnessed drunkenness and mental illness. I had experienced and seen sexual violence. My brother's best friend had taken his life. By 15, my father was a recovering alcoholic, and a number of his friends from AA were ex-cons and former prostitutes. Mine was not exactly a sheltered childhood. So by the time I was 15, I had come to understand the way the world is, or so I thought. But that night, in that beautiful, dark, candlelit church, I learned that this may be the way the world is, but it is not the way it's meant to be. I had the distinct sensation that night of waking up, of being called to attention. that there is a hidden hope buried beneath the muck of the world, and the God who created this world does not intend to let it come to ruin. God is even now at work creating a new world. And the birth of Jesus was the beginning of that new creation. That is what Christmas is about. The beginning of a new creation, of God's heaven coming to earth. The great American inventor Charles Kettering said, "Our imagination is the only limit to what we can hope to have in the future." Our imagination of what is possible, our imagination of the future, rules our present. And it was a great blessed thing that I started to have a vision, a different kind of vision of the future at 15 than I had had prior to that. We know this is true, that our imagination rules our present. From all kinds of stories. I read recently or heard a story about that was told by Rachel Naomi Remen, the doctor, medical doctor, who's done a lot of work about the connection between spiritual healing and medicine. But this was about a story, actually, about an abused woman who had lived 25 or 30 years with a husband who was a respected member of the community. Everyone liked him. Everyone thought well of him. But he was one person in public and another person at home. And at home, he told this woman again and again, his wife, that she was stupid and ugly and worthless. And everyone else thought he was so wonderful, and yet she had this experience at home. And so over years and years and years, she started to believe it was true. Until one day, they were walking down the street in New York City, and she just casually glanced up at a building ahead and noted to him what a beautiful building it was. What a unique and stunning building that is. And he said, that's an ugly piece. That's an ugly building. It's yellow. Who wants it? And there was a man walking on the sidewalk next to them who heard him berate his wife. And the man stopped and said to her, "He's the idiot." That building is one of the most clearest and wonderful examples of Art Deco architecture in the United States. And it's on a walking tour of, you know, architecture. And he went on and on about how wonderful this building was and how everybody knew it. And this guy was the idiot. She was the one who knew what she was talking about. And just this small moment where someone spoke a word of truth that broke in past her dark picture of the world, this shroud over her eyes, it began to open up for her the possibility, the imagination that her life could be different. And that was the beginning of her departure from her husband and the beginning of her new life. We know that our imagination about the future, about what is possible, shapes our today. Kids who are born into poverty don't often have very many role models to open their imaginations about what is possible in the world. They don't see parents and others going to college, and so they don't know. We know that we've met kids from Mama Hill's Help who have been exposed to terrible things in their life and yet have never seen the beach. You know, they live in Los Angeles, 20 miles from the beach, and they've never seen it. Mama Hill, many, many years ago, decided she was tired of going out on street corners and lighting candles at candlelight vigils for kids who were gunned down in Watts from gang violence. And she said, "No, we need to start lighting candles for them while they live." That's what Christmas is about, and that's what the season of Advent is about. is about waking up. That's what all of the lessons and all of the music from today are about. Waking up to what God is doing in the world. Whatever we see around us, whether we have been privileged not to be exposed to all that brokenness yet, or whether it's all around us and that's all we can see, we need to learn and see that there is another world coming this way. The gospel lesson this morning, it sounds scary. Two women will be working in the field and one will be taken and the other will be left. But I think the message of that gospel lesson is that it matters where we come out in history. It matters whether we live by the imagination of what God is doing in the world, or we live by that rule, or whether we live by some other rule. Our youth group, the junior high youth group, now called CRASH, that word CRASH comes from the idea that what we pray for in the Lord's Prayer every week, that let it be on earth as it is in heaven. But when heaven comes to earth, there is a bit of a crash. It forces us. When we get a glimpse of God's rule, it forces us to look at the way we live today and to see the distance that we have to overcome with God's help to get that fully fused. The kids in our church and the kids that we know, your children and grandchildren, will be all excited about Christmas this year, and you probably are too. And you have your family traditions of maybe getting the tree together, getting all your presents underneath it, watching the Charlie Brown Christmas special, doing all of those special things. And it's really important that you do them. It's the joy of this season. But don't hesitate and don't forget to expose them and expose yourself to the bigger vision, the most important vision, the source of the hope that we celebrate this season. They need to know that the world they see around them is not the whole story. Thanks be to God. Amen.